Welcome to the D&K Repost Non-League Show in association with Square Media and Repost Retail Solutions. And we're back for a brand new season of the D&K Show. Joining me and Keith McMahon today, of course, is Anthony Hughes, the new chairman of the Southern League. And of course, WEA manager Paul Halsey, where we talk about 3G pitches, under-23s league, the season so far, the season upcoming, and of course, the FA Cup as well. Well, welcome to the D&K Repost Non-League Show, of course, and we're back for another season, and we're lucky to say in this season we're going to hit our 300th show in this season, which is fantastic news for me and Keith to hit 300 during this season. But, of course, joining me as normal, of course, in the top left-hand corner is the one and only Mr. Keith McMahon. Welcome back, Keith.
Hi, Dave. How are you? Hope you had a nice summer.
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad, Ad. And as you know, I had a fantastic June, thanks to the man in the bottom left-hand corner, who we're going to introduce to you now, because it was probably one of the, as I said to you over text, and I think we've had a phone call since then, probably one of the best nights of my life, and such a privilege to compare for the Southern League Awards. And, of course, introducing the brand new, and it's fantastic to say, the brand new chairman of the Southern League, of course, Mr. Anthony Hughes.
And, you did a fine job, Dave, for us. Fair play.
It was a fantastic evening, and I've got the picture that the photographer done right above my desk. So Mrs. loves it. And of course, in the bottom right, of course, the rogue himself, the man I speak to every week, of course, and of course, Mr. Paul Halsey. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks, Dave. Rogue, unbelievable.
I've got to ask the question first, because it's a question to Anthony first, because it's something that I saw on Twitter today that somebody said about, and I think it was on one of the Southern League Facebook streams on there, and someone said on there that no League Cup this year.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. I tell you what happened at the AGM. The question of the League Cup was raised by one of the clubs, and I think one or two of the other leagues around us had sort of taken the decision to suspend the League Cup. And what we did was we took like a sort of unofficial indicative vote of the clubs of what they thought. And the reality, Dave, was that out of the 84 clubs, something like 80 plus, you know, thought it would be a good idea to sort of at least temporarily suspend it because of the cost of electricity and floodlights. Although, in fairness, I think we've seen a slight movement over the last few years that clubs are not fully engaged with the Southern League Cup. We've tried all sorts of different things to try and make it worthwhile. But I think with the cost of staging games now and everything else, we thought it was a sensible decision. So the club spoke loud and clear, and I felt it was only right that we listened to them. So what we've done is suspended it for 1 year, primarily because of the cost of the electricity, but we'll look at it again at the end of the season.
I mean, as a Southern League club, Paul, are you happy with that decision? Do you think that's a good thing to do?
I think that for me, the last thing I'd want to do on a Tuesday night is go down to Truro. So I think for the cost of living, I think it's a sensible decision. Not sure whether, because how big the Southern League, you know, when I was in the Isthmian, and the travelling for the Isthmian didn't, for me, it was where it was football club. The travelling weren't massively far. I think that in the Southern League, you've got a lot more travelling. Yeah. So my question would be, and I don't know if you've ever done this before, Annie, but would it not be that you would just do a divisional cup rather than all the clubs? Maybe.
Listen, that's not a bad thought, actually. I'll tell you the honest truth, Paul, and I say that the costs have come into this, no question.
Yeah, coach, I get that.
We've wrestled with this for years. You know, I know from people at my own club, but also other clubs, it is a burden to them sometimes, you know. So we've tried all sorts of different things and asked for suggestions. And listen, that's not a bad suggestion, that we could do four separate divisional.
Yeah, no, it costs you more on trophies.
And I, Yeah, again, I'm open to all suggestions, and that's not a bad one, actually. So something we could look at. You are right, in the Isthmian League, of course, the distances are shorter. And this goes on to something else that Dave had asked me about the Isthmian League saying about arranging the early kickoffs if they wanted this season, again, to save on the electricity costs. And I said to Dave, you know, it was a bit of a red herring for me because that's always been in the league rules. So the league rules have always allowed clubs to mutually agree earlier kickoff times. You just got to let the league know. But of course, as you just said now, in the Southern League, it's not quite as simple as the Isthmian League because you may be travelling 2.5-3 hours and they don't want to kick off at 1 o'clock, you know? Yeah, so it's a different sort of dynamic to what the Isthmian has got. But all those things are in the melting pot. And listen, I'll take on board what you've just said. I think it's a good idea. And we'll take it back and have a look at it because it's not something we've looked at before.
I also think that the going back to the early kickoffs, that's fine, Dave, if teams ain't got youth teams playing on their pitch in the mornings.
Yeah, as well. That's right.
Do you see what I mean? So there's a lot more. I mean, with us at the moment with the lights, for us it ain't a problem because we've had the new LED lights fitted. A lot of clubs have got that, so the actual cost of them are nowhere greater than what they used to be when it was the old floodlights. So, but I also understand there's a lot of clubs still got them bulbs. So there's a lot of factors in that early kickoff. You know,
well, I'm gonna be the first controversial thing after 10 minutes because I've listened. The League Cup thing, I think there's a tradition in it. The Eastern League done it a couple of years ago where they made little mini leagues of people close to you. So if you've got a Premier League and, you know, a division and a North, you know, that are quite close, you know, they made little ones. And then I think now they just do it regionalised, so you play people there. Yeah. I think, you know, as a manager, it's good to blood your youngsters through it. And if you take that away, what you're going to do then, you know, you'll still do it. Going to this early kickoff with money, I'm not having that because I can't see clubs halting their wage bills because of their floodlights. You know, what I'm hearing at the moment is still going ahead. You're still going to see friendlies while the season's going on midweek where they're at using them. I just think it's a get out for certain people to say, yeah, we're going to save 5-10 quid on floodlights, but, you know, take it off your wage bill.
And of course, you're dead right, because again, you look at those teams, you know, like Ware and of course Harlow as well, that have got 3Gs, 4Gs, they're using that every single night of the week. So floodlights are going to be on every single night of the week. They're not going to start saying to the kids, well, you've got to come in the minute school finishes and come in and do training. There's one thing that, you know, I've got to be apologetic about because we should have started off with this when we first started the show tonight. And I know Anthony will probably be with me with this as well. A massive, you know, get well soon, of course, to a real close colleague of mine like Keith. Of course, I do stuff on the Summer League YouTube channel with a gentleman called Steve Whitney. He's been unfortunately diagnosed with cancer this week, and so, you know, no disrespects to everybody, you know, I send our massive best wishes to Steve, and I'm wishing him all the very, very best with the treatment that he's got coming up, I think, at the end of this week, and that I shall speak to him on Wednesday when we record our preview show for the week. But yeah, we wish him all the very, very best and a healthy recovery from what is you know, horrific disease. So all the best to him.
Absolutely, good that,
I mean, with that, though, I mean, the FA Cup, of course, started at the weekend. And, of course, as well, some of the Summer League games started at you know, in pre-season. And, you know, last week as well. I mean, we were laughing and joking off air. Well, not necessarily laughing and joking, but discussing, shall we say, the game. I don't know if you saw it yourself, Paul. You know, the game between Sheppey and Newham getting called off at the weekend. I mean, did you see the state of that pitch? Paul, was you glad to have a 4G down when you saw the state of that?
Yeah, I see that, funny enough, but didn't we see that with Coventry as well? Wasn't there's like
yeah,
well?
That was a joke. The Coventry one was a joke. How's that called off?
Do you know what? I think that was the one I saw that had a pitch inspection in the morning.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
I've got to be honest, Dave, going back to the Sheppey one, I think that's absolutely outrageous. If you're Sheppey and you've travelled all the way down there, you know what your pitches are. To get it, like, when you're reading things, I know it's not all, it's a bit Chinese whispers and you're listening to stuff on social media, but when they're saying they're painting the lines and fixing dugouts just before the kickoff, and I personally think the FA should have kicked him out, not made him replay it at Sheppey tomorrow.
That should have been flagged up a lot earlier, shouldn't it? I mean, you've got a responsibility, not just yourselves, but your opponents. And absolutely right. That should have been flagged up a long time before Saturday. You should never have got to that, should it? That should have been resolved way before, so that their opponents knew exactly what was happening.
Mm. I mean, with some of the games that were played at the weekend, starting, with the Southern League. I mean, I'll read out some of these, and it'd be interesting to see, especially from Anthony's point of view, maybe Keith's and Paul's as well, if he felt there was any shocks in any of these at the weekend. But, I mean, Rushton and Diamonds nil, Needham Market nil. Alverchurch 3, Stourbridge nil. Barwell 1, Hitchin 2. So Terry will be happy at least. Bromsgrove Sporting 1, St Ives 2. Hensford nil, Redditch 1. Kings Langley 2, Michelover Sports 2, Leiston, or Leiston, whichever way you want to say it, 3, Leighton Borough 2, Royston Town 3, Steve Castle, Bashford United 1, Rushall Olympic 0, Colville Town 3, Stratford Town 1, Bedford Town 1, and Tamworth 1, Ilkeston Town 1. Any surprises there, Anthony, that you would have said?
To be honest, the one thing I was watching was, obviously, we got quite a few new teams that's come in from the Northern Premier League, Ilkeston and Micklover and Basford, so I didn't really know what to expect. But the one that's probably stood out to me as two old traditional Southern League clubs was the Alverchurch and Stourbridge. Stourbridge, I know, had a difficult season last year, but I genuinely thought that this season... And listen, it may turn out to be that much better, but I was quite surprised at their result there. And I think the other result, which is a good result, was St Ives' victory at Bromsgrove, who again are another strong, well-supported Southern League club. I think that was a hell of a result, really, to get that victory. I think, I'm sure the likes of Royston will be there or thereabouts. They seem a very, very well-run club and a very strong side. And Stratford, perhaps. But I'll be interested to see how the new clubs go, definitely.
Mm. I mean, Anthony, what's the sort of thinking of starting the Premier divisions before the others? Obviously, the Eastern League don't do that, do they? And I'm not sure if the Northern League do. Is it something that the Southern League always do?
No, it's not. To be honest with you, Keith, I think had we had our way, we probably would have started all four divisions on that day. But it was the FA Cup that meant that step four couldn't start. Now, it was the case a few years back that none of the step four clubs would come in the extra preliminary round. But because of the way the FA Cup is structured now, after the restructure of the different steps at the National League system, it means that some of our step four clubs come in. So... we took the opportunity of starting early just to give us that extra midweek. And what we do then, Keith, in to compensate for that, we actually leave a spare Saturday in March so that if games are postponed and they are fairly long distance, that they can be put in back in March. Hmm. So if a game even is called off in October, as Paul mentioned, say it's Truro and, I don't know, it could be Hendon, and it's called off, then instead of Hendon having to go to Truro or vice versa, we will allow them to slot that in on that spare Saturday in March, even as early as October, where normally you ask them to rearrange postponed games within 7 weeks. But it worked well last year. It's the first time we've done that. In terms of the spare Saturday in March, and it worked really well, so we thought we'd carry on with it.
Sensible.
I mean, in the Premier South, it was Bracknell Town 2, Western Supermare 2, Dorchester Town 2, Norfolk 1, Gosport Borough 3, Merthyr 2, Hanwell Town 1, Truro 3, Hartley Whitney Neil Swindon Supermarine 3. That's still one of the best names of any team, that. Hendon Neil Yatetown 1. Met Police 2. Hazen Yedding 1. Plymouth Parkway 2. Chesham United 2. Salisbury 1. Beaconsfield Town 0. Tiverton Town 0. Harrowborough 0. Winchester City 0. Poole Town 3. I think the two that stood out for me there was Met Police beating Hazen Yedding and Plymouth Parkway, who Steve, Mr. Whitney, says he's going to go straight through the leagues, getting a 2-2 draw with Chesham, who were right up there last year in the Premier South.
You're absolutely right. I think in terms of Plymouth Parkway, I think they are going to be a force to be reckoned with. We've played them a couple of times in the FA Cup, and we've won and we've lost, and they are, even when they were at step five, they were obviously a club that was playing far below their strength. So it hasn't surprised me to see them coming through. How far they can get through the pyramid is a different ballgame, because eventually sometimes things catch up with you. But it'll be interesting to see how they do, and I think they will be a tough nut to crack. Met Police were always there or thereabouts themselves most of last season. So they were fairly strong. And you know what? Sometimes on the opening day, you see a few strange results and you think, but I always think back to last year in the Premier League when Tottenham beat Man City, and then Man City went on to win the league. I think people get it up a little bit about the opening day too much. So the likes of Winchester, who suffered probably a heavy defeat, and one or two others like Hartley Whitney, you know, I think, things will probably even out and we'll get a better idea in the first month or 2 months of the season. Because I think Hayes and Yedding probably will have a strong season anyway. As I think Chesham will, and Truro as well. But I think where Merthyr went on Saturday as well, Gosport, they could be the surprise package for me. The two of the goals they scored against Merthyr were outstanding, to be fair. And I think they may well be a surprise package this season.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Paul, with yourself, I mean, you see Northleigh going in there. I know they lost at the weekend.
Yeah.
But I think they could do quite well in there because, Eddie seems to be doing all right for himself, doesn't he? He's got a job at Oxford United as well.
Yeah, he's doing all right there, mate. I mean, obviously...
Could have been your job if you'd have beaten him.
Pardon?
Could have been your job if you'd have beaten him.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Dave. But yeah, obviously I'll keep an eye on Northleigh and Bedford and sort their results. Yeah. I look at Bracknell and I look at Hanwell because they're two teams that I was up against in the Isthmian. So I like to see. Yeah. I think Bracknell will do well.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure with Northleigh. I don't know because they're so far away how he's strengthened, but. I think Bedford are doing all right. We've took their striker now, but obviously they've still got a good side. They're well supported and they're a great club, Bedford. I've always said that. So I think they're hold their own. Northleigh, I don't know so much. I'd imagine they've got a lot of work to do with their ground. But
yeah, they would have. They would have, Paul, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not so sure about Hanwell. I think Bracknell will hold their own. I think he's always had good sides. Listen, I'm going to support them lads because I've been up against them. So I wish them all well. But I think you're right, Andy. You can't go on the first game of the season. You know, you just can't go. You know, you can win your first game and lose the next four. So, you know, is a lot to go. A lot of games, a lot of heartbreak. So I won't go on the first game. So, but as long as I win mine, I don't care.
I mean, through the summer, I mean, has there been any big stories like Keith that you've looked at during the summer and thought, I didn't expect that? I mean, like transfers or anything along those sort of lines?
No, I spoke to him, and this we're going back to the Eastman League at the weekend, though, when I watched an FA Cup game local, and some of the players that Ashford have lost is pretty big, Dave. At least he's signed some, but he's lost a lot of his forward line, and so that surprised me because they, you know, got into the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, not really. I don't think there's anything I sit there thought, cool, wow, that's a big signing. But it's going to be interesting looking at some of the leagues. Like I said, I see Walthamstow pre-season, so it'd be interesting to see how they get on in the north. The three new teams, we've mentioned Sheppey already. Sheppey, Chatham and Beckenham Town will do well in the Eastern and South East as well. So, yeah, I think it's...
Sorry, Keith, Walthamstow in our league now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, they're in yours. Yeah, sorry. They are in yours. Yeah, I spoke to them about that. Yeah, I watched them.
Was you surprised to see him go out against the weekend in the FA Cup?
It's difficult because, again, when you watch pre-season games, it's hard to tell. You know, I've only watched two, to be honest with you, and that's the only bit of football apart from Saturday I've gone out and watched. But you can't really judge. They were a typical Terry side. They were strong, you know, fairly direct. But like you said, first game of the season being the FA Cup is a nightmare, I think, for a lot of sides. It's a banana skin for a lot of teams. And I'm not a lover of that. I know Ant, you were saying they've got to try and squeeze it in, but, you know, I don't know why they couldn't just let you play a first league game and then you play the FA Cup the week after or something just to get you going. It just seems ridiculous to me. But
I think that has a knock-on effect for the Step 5 clubs and Step 6, Keith.
Mm. Yeah.
We've been pulled in that the last 2 years, to be fair. And I was really pleased that this year, I think, if I'm right in saying, Anthony, that it was all graded on where you finished in the league. So yes. I'm really glad that we weren't pulled in it. As much as I like the money, you're right, Keith, it's a banana skin. And obviously, Walthamstow found that out, you know.
How's it fair, Paul, when Step 5 clubs and Step 6 clubs have already played one league game before they go in it? You know, they've got that little bit more competitive edge. And you know, I know you should say, well, most Step 4 sides should beat them, but I don't think that's the case. I just think they need to have a real look at it. I think a few years ago, they did let you play one game first. I just think it's something they need to maybe readdress.
I think what's happened is that they've restricted the number of clubs going into the FA Cup.
Hmm.
So a lot of the Step 6 clubs will probably feel aggrieved that they can't get into the competition, because it can be quite lucrative if you win a few games. And listen, everybody wants to be in the FA Cup, don't they? So I think the knock-on effect of that is that the Step 4 clubs have started earlier and earlier and earlier. And I think you're right, Keith. In an ideal world, we wouldn't want our clubs to be coming in as early as this. That's the truth. But it's more or less just a fait accompli that we dealt with, really, in order to get through the rounds so you get to the latter stages. And make no mistake about this, the FA Cup is planned on the basis of the television schedule of the later rounds. Mm. And that's what takes the priority.
Mm. I mean, you were just saying about the, you know, sort of the Eastman Leagues as well. But I mean, you look at the Eastman League and I've got the Premier Division sort of like opening games in front of me. And some of these are just like, you know, you can only go on what last year and et cetera, and how far things are. We know there's going to be differences in that. But when you actually look down this list, it's star-studded with games this weekend. I mean, Billericay against Cray Wanderers. And we should say a massive congratulations to Neil Smith's daughter finishing 10th. In the diving at the Commonwealth Games. I think it was yesterday or the day before. So congratulations to him. But you've got Bishop Stalford against Haringey Borough, Bognor against Hornchurch, Canby against Horsham, Carr Shorten against Brighton Sea, Corinthian Casuals versus Bowes and Pitsey. The one that I might be at the weekend, I'm not maybe mind up where I'm going to go yet, but Enfield Town against Folkestone and Victor. Hastings United against Averley, which again, I think is going to be another... game there. Margate against Kingstonian and Wingate and Finchley against Lewis.
Some big games. Just going back to Smudge's daughter though, mate. To be fair, he did have one of his centre forward teacher out of dive. So I wasn't surprised she done so well.
But in all fairness to him as well, I can't believe he's let Nathan go. You know, Nathan, what a young goalkeeper he was last year for them against Enfield. And he's off to Lee Flabbin and Sutton Coldfield, I think he's gone to. And he's Sutton there, so he's off up to them. So that'll be interesting. But that again will be a really tough league. I mean, where do you see on that sort of league people coming out of that? Do you see anybody sort of coming out of it at all?
Do you know, I'm going to be interested, the team I'm going to be interested in watching, I know because a friend of mine just got in there, but is Bowers. Obviously, James Collins has gone in from Faversham, but obviously to take over from Smallsy is something huge for what he's done there. And so that'll be a little bit interesting to see that. But obviously, you know, with Hastings are a massive club, Dave, and they've signed some big players already. I think they'll do well. But you're right, it'll be interesting to see what Billericay are like.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, they've got one of the hardest men in non-league football now in charge of them, of course, in Danny Brown. So you certainly wouldn't want to be getting in any kind of managerial shouting matches with that man, I can tell you, because I don't think I'd fancy that one too much. But, I mean, in the North Division, of course, you've got Basil and Haybridge Swifts, Brentwood against Felix Stowe, Bury against Hashtag, who, again, I think will probably be up there, Coggeshall against Grays, East Thurrock against Sudbury, Galston, I think, will be the big surprise in that league this year, personally, myself, against New Salamaris, Great Wakering against Lowestoft, Malden against Tilbury, Stowmarket versus Holbridge Sports, and Witham Town with James Beardwell back. That's got to be the story of the off-season against one of my favourite clubs of all time in Wroxham. And great to see Wroxham back.
The North Division is like when I was in it again, when you're travelling now back to Wroxham and Lowestoft. You know, there were the journeys. Obviously, you had Needham Market and that as well. But, you know, there is a bit of journey time for some of them clubs.
I'm glad you brought that up because, I'm sorry, Paul, but this is a bugbear of mine. When you see supporters moaning and groaning on, and I've had this conversation with Anthony before, you know, where you see people moaning and groaning about the distance in the central division, the southern central division, of how far they've got to travel. And yet, when you actually look at the Isthmian North, and you've got to travel to Wroxham, you've got to travel to Galston, you've got to travel to Sudbury, you've got to travel to Lowestoft. When you actually start looking at how long that takes you to get to there in comparison to, you know, Cirencester and Hadley and places like that, it's a lot further in the north than what it is in the central. So it's just proven that people don't actually know their football, or they don't actually look at how far the distances are in those leagues.
That's right. Yeah.
Step four is very different. Step three, you're right. And at step three, there was always this conversation. Nick Robinson will probably disagree with me, in fairness, and we often do. But there was always this conversation about where the three East Anglia clubs, the three Suffolk clubs, would play, whether they would play in the Isthmian Premier or whether they would play in our Central. And we originally took them into our Central when the leagues were restructured. Mm. But there was always this conversation, and if one or two of them dropped out, then maybe it would be best if they went back into the Isthmian. Now, obviously, we're at two this year, but they've stayed with us. Yeah. So, but I think if I went down to one club, whether somebody goes up or comes down, then, you know, I think that might have to be reevaluated. I think you're right, the North at step four in the Isthmian League is probably as much travelling, if not more, than the Premier Division of the Isthmian League. It's probably the biggest footprint that they've got. But it's like everything else, you know, there's so many clubs in a small area in London and the South East. You do genuinely have to take in the travelling distance as well as the mileage. Mm-hmm. It's not just a case of we're going 150 miles. You could be travelling 70 miles in London and it take you twice as long. Mm-hmm. So
I think that it's better. I think for me, when we came from the Isthmian to the Southern, and I look at our travelling now, we've got the Cirencester and Highway. There's a couple of ones quite away, but I think it's so much better. I really do.
I mean, we need to probably fine-tune it a bit, you know. That it's difficult because there's always some clubs who's on that cusp that will always be on the edge of the move one way or another. And I feel for them, I genuinely do, because it's always them we fall back on. So I get it's difficult for them. But, you know, ultimately it's trying to do the best we can for everybody, really. But you have to take into account these local idiosyncrasies. And we've spoke long and hard about the Dartford Tunnel and the bridge and everything else, and the time it used to take to get through that. you know. And in the Isthmian, there were many games called off sometimes because you couldn't get through.
Anthony, I'll let you finish now, because I have got a good question I need to ask you. How comes Bodner's never been in your league?
Well, that's a good question. And it's something, it is a question that's been raised at the allocations meetings on a number of occasions. They have been in our league, apparently, historically, Keith, I'm told, but before my time, I think. And I think they could end up in our league again, I have to say. I thought that when Worthing went this year, because we look at clusters of clubs, obviously, when Worthing went this year, I thought that was a possibility that could happen. But what happened was, when the Northern Premier League sort of had to formulate their Premier Division, we ended up in the South with too many clubs, actually. So it was a case of which way. So we ended up taking the three from the Nottingham and putting them in the Central and moving some from the Central down into the Southern. So that's why it didn't actually move across into Bognor, I think, on this occasion. But listen, I think the potential is there for them to be in the Southern League in the next couple of years, provided they don't go up or down or whatever, you know, whatever happens. And I've had that conversation with a number of people, including Jack Pearce, obviously, who you'll know, and with Nick Robinson. And it's something that's always on the agenda. They are one of those clubs that's always on the agenda because where they are geographically placed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Central Division fixtures at the weekend are Barton Rovers against AFC Dunstable, Burke Hampstead versus Biggleswade, Biggleswade Town versus Cirencester Town, Harlow, fingers crossed, against Aylesbury United.
Why fingers crossed, Dave?
Oh, you're a Wear fan this year, Dave.
They've got to have a pitch down first before we can get the pitch finished off first. Hartford Town versus Didcot Town, Highworth Town versus Hadley, Kidlington versus FC Romania. Who, Paul, would you say that they are going to be an unknown quantity, FC Romania this year?
Yeah. I've spoken to Ryan, who's something to do with the club now, but I see that one yesterday in the FA Cup. So for them, that's a good start. Mm. It's a good start and fair play to them. They bought that a couple of years ago. If you want my honest opinion, the old Romania just wanted to buy the league. That's all they wanted, to buy their promotion, the money they was throwing. I think it, for this level, is, but teams do it. So what can you say? It's going to be. I wanted to go and watch it actually, but the weather it's just so nice. I had to stay in. But they're going to be a bit of an unknown quantity. Of course they are. And we've got them not too far away, so it'd be interesting to see. Well, I hope they do well. Fair play to them.
And of course,
I was just going to ask you guys about FC Romania because I know very little about them in terms of as a club and a place. They've only been in our league, obviously, 1 year. But I knew what was going on. So the playing squad changed considerably from last season?
Right. Yeah, so first and foremost, was you aware of what was going on and what was happening?
In fairness, they kept us fully up to date. So I knew exactly what was going on. Yes.
So basically, the whole squad that they signed, well, they didn't sign, it went over. Two of them are my players.
Right.
Three now, because I've got Rennie Howe. They enticed lots of people from all the teams over to their place on very, very good money, if you want me to put it that way. Now that's gone. The money's gone. The whole of the squad's gone. So they've had to build another whole squad from scratch.
Sure. And Paul, to be honest with you, from my point of view, my worry was that they were able to field a team and the club was in good shape to carry on, you know. That was the important thing for me. So for me, I was delighted to see that they'd played and won yesterday. I have to be honest. That was a big relief to me because it was one club that I really didn't know what the state of play was in terms of playing squad and everything else.
Yeah, they've pulled together a team. I don't think they should have been in that. The new owner shouldn't have been in that position. I feel for them a little bit like that. This should have been done a couple of years ago, but that's it. Nothing to do with me. But Listen, one thing I know about the people involved, they will get a team together. I can assure you. As long as I said to him yesterday or on Friday when I was being, as long as you ain't got a team against me, I don't care what you do.
And of course, you're traveling to Tame.
I'm going to claim mileage from Anthony there. So
Well, I mean, are you all ready to go? I mean, I saw the big beam on your face of your new striker, so I'm assuming you must be all ready.
Well, yeah. Don't want to be sounding give any clues away, but I hate pre-seasons. Always have. Absolutely hate them. It's not really gone how I liked it have gone. Injuries, etc. But come Saturday, we'll be bang on it. You've got to remember, I lost from that squad at the end of the season. I lost 11 players.
Wow. Right.
That's a big loss. To be fair, two of them, obviously, the Romania thing has come back.
Yeah.
But all the others, if they've either the keeper give up, Dave Kendall retired, and most of the other boys are going to step by her. So I wish them well. I know for a fact, if we'd have got promoted, they'd still be at the club.
But yeah, of course. Yeah,
it is what it is. So to be beaten by someone who weren't in the playoffs is a bit hard to take, but it is what it is.
And listen, I get it completely. I get it. Yeah.
Listen, that's our fault at the end of the day. So I can't blame you for that. We should have performed better on the last day of the season. Unfortunately, we only turned up probably for the last half hour of the game. And, you know, it is what it is. We move on. But I know when it comes Saturday, we should be where we need to be.
Rennie Howe's a name I've watched for many years.
Pardon?
Rennie Howe is somebody I've watched for a long time.
Yeah, so he only came in last week. He's had a couple of games. He's not looking sharp because obviously what went on at Romania.
Yeah.
I need him to get a little bit sharper. I need him to bond with the players or get the way we play and get his game into the way we play. But, mate, he's a great player, isn't he? We all know what Rennie gives you. You know, he scored 33 goals last season. So, you know, golden boot, if I'm not right, it's wrong, sorry. Yeah. But
we heard in here out, didn't he, to be fair.
Exactly. So, you know, people might think, you know, but he might be 35 years of age, but he brings so much to the table. And I'm really excited by it, you know. So, he's done his job. He's part of his deal was to buy me a Guinness. He's bought me two so far. So, I'm all right. Happy days. That's my wages sorted.
Finishing off the pictures, Waltham Abbey against Kempston Rovers and Welling Garden City versus Walthamstow.
Big one there.
Yeah. I felt for Welling Garden City, you know. Last season, it was a difficult situation, to be honest. And, you know, the reality was that an awful lot of work was done in a short space of time. They were able to stay where they were, albeit through the appeal process. But listen, nobody wants to see anything decided anywhere other than on the pitch. That's the reality. Mm. Nobody wants to see anything decided in boardrooms and at the FA or anywhere else. So I did feel for them because, you know, I can imagine how they felt, and it's not nice when you've put all that effort in all season to get it sort of taken away from you.
I suppose the question we should ask you as well, Anthony, I suppose is, one, how are you feeling now, and is everything going okay? And of course also as well with the promotion, shall we say? I mean, how's it been going since the 11th of June? I mean, everything going the way you want it to go? And I know you've got plans.
Roughly, you know, I'm well, thank God, and thank you, Dave. I feel fine, thank goodness. Everything's good, which is great. I couldn't have taken it on if I hadn't then. So, you know, that was something I was waiting for before the AGM to find out what the prognosis was going forward. Unfortunately for me, it was great. So that's all good while it lasts, and I'll enjoy it. The league's gone great, but there has been problems. Problems that perhaps we haven't been able to that may not, some of which weren't of our own making, I suppose, in this match. And the two biggest problems we've had is the new registration system that's come through from the FA, which Paul might tell me something about. But that proved to be a huge problem, you know, certainly up until last week. And there are still issues now. But the majority of them are resolved. And the other big problem we had, of course, was match balls. They are still on a container somewhere in the Far East, on their way to probably your part of the world more than mine. So the sooner they get you, the better. So I had to make a quick decision on what to do in that respect, because obviously there's a lot of new clubs that's come into our league and wouldn't have Southern League match balls from last season. We play with a mitre ball, as the same as the Isthmian, whereas no one in Premier League play with a different make of football. So we took the decision quickly to sort of get six balls of similar style quality to every club, just to tide us over for the first few weeks, so that for the integrity of the competition, everybody's playing the same football. And we took that decision quickly. And I am hoping that the original match balls should be coming in the next week or two. But there's nothing guaranteed. But, you know, that's part of a worldwide problem that is far bigger than us and far bigger than the footballs. But those have been the two biggest problems, to be honest with you, over the last few weeks. But it was a relief to see all the games going off okay on Saturday. And obviously with the registration system and our two Premier Divisions starting the week before the Isthmian and the Northern Premier, you know, I was keen to make sure that the clubs who were playing this weekend had the priority in terms of the efforts that were put in from the FA and the developer of the registration system themselves.
I mean the actual thing itself, though, I mean, this year and with the football coming back, and it's just going to be, I think, an all-round... Do you think there's going to be more euphoria around the football when now it's back? Because, and I'm just looking at someone's face when I mention this, because, of course, it finally came home a couple of weeks ago. Do you think there'll be more euphoria around football because of what the ladies did? Do you think that might make any difference to non-league football as well?
To me, Dave, you're asking me, I think the honest answer is yes, but I think we had that anyway after COVID. I was at the final of the Euros last weekend, and it was outstanding, to be fair. The occasion, the atmosphere, and the quality was as good as anything I've ever been to. It was top draw, and they fully deserved a win, which was fantastic. And it can't be anything but good news for us. You know, it can't be anything we could do. I've always said it, you know, whatever happens in the men's tournament, the women's tournament, you know, when they do well, it's a bounce back for us. There's no question about that. And yes, I hope so. I think a lot more fans are getting, are finding the appeal of non-league football and the differences to the professional game. And I speak as somebody who loves a professional game as well. But I think there are people who see the appeal of being able to come and have a drink, be more relaxed, and I suppose get closer to the players and to the management and everything else. And I think there is an appeal on that that we have to tap into. What we also have to be careful about, unfortunately, and this has crept in over the last 12 months, is some of the behaviour that we've seen at some of the games. And it's like everything else, the more popular you become, the more you can possibly attract the wrong sort of people that you don't want there. So, but listen, that's a societal issue. It's not just a football issue.
But so talking around supporters things, I think over the weekend, I think it was both of us, if I remember rightly, we were in the Southern League. One was a real plus point, one was a real negative point that happened over the weekend. So start with the plus point, which was, I think it was your own side.
Yeah.
I don't know if the guys have heard about this, but the Murph team coach had a flat tire. The supporters gave up their coach so that the Murph Tidville guys could actually get to the ground. Was that why you didn't go?
Dave, looking at the result, the supporters should have played the game.
Obviously, going running Gosford, which is down by Portland, they had a blowout. So the supporters coach, which was just behind them, actually stopped in Winchester, dropped them all off at Winchester, and went on and picked the team up and took them to the game. So the supporters ended up going to Winchester and Poole to watch that game. So there were like 60 Merthyr fans at that game, which apparently was a great afternoon as well. But the sad thing was the coach that had the blowout had to be towed home. So they had to wait for another coach to come and get, and they didn't get back until something like 3 o'clock in the morning, I think, the supporters. But yeah, listen, they took it in good part, to be fair to them, and they realised what was important. And from what I'm hearing, they had a very good day themselves, so I don't think they were too disappointed, especially after the result, as Keith said. So that was a positive story, yeah. And it's made some positive headlines around the websites, which is good news.
And of course, there was one negative one as well, involving, if I'm right, it's had a coach as well. I mean, that one must have been a bit concerning for you, though.
Yeah. Is this the one at Tamworth?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have heard about it. And I've received some information from them, which we're looking into. But from what I can gather, the windows of the coach were smashed. But there's a lot more to look into this, I think, because there was some dialogue before the game about segregating the fans and selling tickets online, which proved to be a problem. So there were issues going on in the week leading up to the game. And obviously something very unsavoury has happened on the day. And without knowing all the facts, it's difficult to square blame at anybody's door. But it's certainly something that we will be looking into. But primarily, I think it's the FA will look into it first of all, based upon the referee's report. And I would imagine the police are probably involved if the damage. Fortunately, from what I'm hearing, nobody got badly hurt. But it's not a pleasant, I've been through that experience myself, and it's not a pleasant experience. So, that's something we really don't want. But it goes back to the playoff at the end of last season, where we had a few problems there with supporters, And it was funny because on the last day of last season, I went to Taunton on behalf of the league. They were playing Farnborough. And both of those clubs could have won the league at the time. Taunton ended up winning. They were like 2,500 there. There was 200 or 300 from Farnborough. No segregation. The day went off like a dream. There wasn't a crossword between anybody. And it was a great advert, And then Farnborough ended up in the playoff final at Hayes. And I don't know if you saw what happened then, because it was live streamed. And some fans came on the pitch at the end, and there was a few problems there. So it's something that's creeping in, and we've got to get onto it now before it takes hold. But it's up to us to work with the clubs as well. We had a situation, I think, in the other playoff final, Peterborough Sports and Colville, where you had supporters of Peterborough United and Leicester City come into the game. And that caused a problem. But I think it's also the onus is on us, and we've discussed this at the league. When we know these games are coming up, we should be more interactive with these clubs to see what infrastructure they've got in place and to give them any help we can in terms of obtaining prop stewards from professional clubs who are used to this sort of crowd control and are trained sufficiently. So it's something we are looking to be a lot more proactive in this season as a league. And I think at all the step three and four leagues as well together.
And I think, and as I've said before, not just because you're here, I've said it numerous occasions, and it's one of those things that I find with the Southern League as well. And Paul, I don't know if you agree with me and Keith, if the Southern League feel like they've made a mistake, they're always there to try and make sure that mistake never happens again. And that's one of the things for me. I've done something today that I've had to apply for today. And one of the questions I was asked in that was, how do you know if a club's a good club? And how do you know if a league's a good league? And for me, one of the things about it is that you've got to have it as a family, both of them, the club and the league. And it does feel like that.
But the league is only his club, see, Dave, isn't it? It's the club's league. It's not our league. It's not my money. It's not the league's money. It's the club's money. And the only difference is how you manage things and do things right. We have to listen to when the clubs tell us things. So financially, the Southern League has always been run quite astutely and has always been financially prudent. Now, in my opinion, perhaps too prudent. And so finding that happy medium of making sure the clubs get the benefits of the sponsorship and everything else is important. But it's also important that the league is run financially securely. In the situation like we had with the footballs this year, we were able to go out and order another 500 footballs and just pay for them because of the problems that we had with the original ones in the Far East. So being run in a certain way is important, but ultimately we have to start doing a lot more what the clubs want, and hence the League Cup. Now, going back to the League Cup, I know we're going back to what we started with. The difficulty in the AGM was, were we hearing from the chairman, the secretaries, and not the managers and the players? So we had to take that sort of thing into account. But because the vote was so overwhelming, I think it was something like 83 for suspending the League Cup out of 84 clubs. And we felt then that we had to listen to them, you know? Yeah, and I think that's all I want to do, really. We want to try and be a place where the clubs can come to us for help, you know, and in some areas, I have to be brutally honest with you, I think the Southern League has been behind the Eastern League and the Northern Premier League in many of the areas, such as the things we are doing tonight. We've only started doing these things in the last couple of years, and they've been in front of us. But, you know, it's something that we've got to develop. We've got to develop links with coaching. We've got to develop links with safeguarding. We've got to develop links with the youth game. We tried the youth league before and it didn't come off. And there are different challenges because of the distances involved, all the things we've talked about. But there's an awful lot more that we can be doing as a league. And we should be at the centre of when a club has a problem, they can ring the FA, obviously, right? But why shouldn't they come to us and say, look, we got this problem. Can you help us? And that's what we're there for. We're there purely to facilitate their move up and down the National League system. That's the long and short of it.
So that would just draw me on a question I'm waiting to ask you, Andy, anyway.
Yeah.
Last year we had a meeting with I think when we became new in the league, we'd done a meeting with all the managers, secretaries. I asked a question at that point, beginning the last season, what are you doing about an under-23s? Now, they told me that they're definitely looking at it for this season. I've heard nothing about the under-23s. For the last year now, I've got no progression for my under-17s, under-18s to come and play in an under-23s league. Whereas, the Ishmin League do an under-23s. Now, we're not allowed to play in that 23s because we're a member of the Southern. So, where are we on doing an under-23s league?
Right. Honest answer, Paul. I've not heard that discussed at all at our league. So I don't know where that went into the ethos at all.
Well, right? In the bin, probably.
Yeah. So I have to be perfectly honest with you and say that hasn't been discussed or raised that I've seen any phase of it. The only thing I will say is, why on earth you aren't allowed to take part in the ESPN under-23? I have no idea.
I have asked that question and it's like everything, where does it stop, you know? You can't have like 90-100 clubs, and I know what you're saying, Paul, but if you're part of another league, but surely as a league, and I'm not going to get you, Anthony, that your job is also to help them clubs like where or whoever's in your league develop their players. And if they can't, you can't just go, well, maybe they should be able to go and play in another league. That's sort of pushing it under the carpet.
Yeah, I agree completely. And you're right. You're absolutely right. Listen, and I didn't mean that from that respect. What I meant was the one infinite problem we had, we created a youth league in the Southern League about 10 years ago. And we had two divisions. And it wasn't successful. It didn't last more than a year or two because of the distances involved in travelling. That's always been our biggest bugbear. Mm. Now, when I say about why Ware perhaps couldn't play in the Ismail League, the reason I say that is this. It's a bigger argument, right? And it's a bigger story. We all play at step three and step four, okay? Now, we all now have standardised rules. We all now have standardised ground grading. And certain things are standardised. What I can tell you is, if you join the Northern Premier League, you'll pay one fee to join them. You join the Southern League, you pay a different fee. And you join the Ismail League, you pay a different fee. Now, that for me is crazy. So there is a will at the moment for the three leagues. In fact, it's more than a will. The three leagues have never had a better relationship than we got now. That's the truth. We've never been as close as we are now. We work very closely in the FA. We work very closely with the sponsors and with other projects that's ongoing. That doesn't take our responsibility in terms of developing an under three league or a ladies league or anything else away. But even if we did develop an under three league, under 23 leagues, I still think that the possibility, because we're all in the same system, I don't see why, if it's better for Ware to play in the Ismail League, they could still be in the Southern League and we could have an under 23 system as well. But I don't see why still that we can't do the groupings of those under 23s better, so that maybe Ware are still better off playing in the Ismail League. But that doesn't take away our responsibility to develop the talent. Mm. And I accept that completely. And what I can tell you is that we are at the FA working at the moment on a non-league strategic development plan. I know Lawrence Jones and James Earle were in the non-league paper recently and did an interview with them talking a bit about it. And part of that is about developing coaches, about developing the safeguarding areas, developing the under-23s and ladies football, but doing it across the three leagues so that we're all doing roughly the same thing.
And can I also say as well, if you tune into My Life in Football tomorrow night and following Tuesday on the YouTube chat, Summer League YouTube channel, you hear Lawrence Jones actually talking that point on those two interviews.
I accept what you say, Keith, completely. Mm-hmm. Our responsibility is absolutely there and at the forefront. We need to do more as a league. And that probably leans on when I say to you, we've not done as much as the Ismail and the Northern Premier League in the past in certain things. And we need to do more as a Southern League. And that's what I'm hoping that we will do. But Paul, I want to start on it. That under 23 league idea, I've never heard it before. So
well,
listen,
that meeting last year, I don't know if you was in that, I don't think. It was all the managers, all the secretaries. I sat in that meeting and I honestly asked that question.
Yeah,
I just said that it's something we're looking for next season.
Was that a Zoom meeting or a Zoom one? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'm not sure if I was there or not. But listen, I've heard the under 23 subject come up, but it's always been around the Ismail League and the possibility of clubs taking part in that. So, but it's something we need to look at. So, listen, what's the date today? August the 8th?
8th.
Right. Mark that down, Dave. That's something for me to get through this season and start looking at. So, I promise you that's something I will do.
If I have to come on it next year and I've not heard nothing, I'll come over to Wales, mate.
Let me tell you, I won't be on yet if I haven't done anything.
Well, listen, guys, the time has flown away and I've really enjoyed it. First show back, absolutely fantastic. Three shows to go, Mr. McMahon, before we hit our 300th. Hopefully we can get Anthony back on that 300th show as well. And everybody, we can try and get as many people on that show, Paul and everybody else on as well for that show. And maybe we can get a few faces on as well. Maybe with the help of Anthony and Jason and a few others. But a massive thank you for everybody for joining me and Keith tonight. And of course, with Anthony and of course, the living legend himself, Mr. Paul Housie in the bottom right hand corner. As I said earlier on, don't forget YouTube channel every single Tuesday night. the Southern League YouTube channel, you can watch My Life in Football. We just started to release them on a podcast as well over the last few days and in the coming weeks. But you can see those on there as well. This week, one of my conversation with Lawrence Jones. So you can get to see that tomorrow night at 7. Also back this week on Friday night. On Friday night, we shall see our very first Southern League preview show, of course, with the wonderful Mr. Steve Whitney will be joining me for that. And, of course, as well, coming over this weekend, next weekend, back to our local non-league where I take up Paul Howes' time on a Sunday night when he's locked away in his front room, talking to him all about his games and stuff over the weekend with Ware. But me and Keith will be back in 2 weeks' time because I'm actually away on holiday next week. Hooray. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with show 298 in the list. But until then, a massive thank you from me and Keith and, of course, from Paul and Anthony. And we will see you again very, very soon.